Well, here we are. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We got Zach at the controls. We got Bruce answering your phone calls. We're all ready to go. And the phones have been ringing. That doesn't mean there are two ringing and we have three left. I want to hear from you. So, what do you do about, you know, the people on the road who are potential killers? Think about this. But just one second. Think about this. The news has been filled. Hey, Zach, turn that off. Thank you. We have been, the news has been filled with stories about killers who had mental health problems, and we didn't diagnose the mental health problems and all the rest. And we say 10 people got killed, or 5 or 4, but thousands of people are killed every year on the roads. And we know who kills them. Crazy people who drive in and out thinking that it's bumper car time at the you know, at the amusement park, and who think that they're very clever, who are showing off for somebody else. But I guarantee you it is a form of mental illness that you use a car like that. A, you may get away with it, but what about the people who don't know, you know, who are driving along and who you scare the hell out of and all the rest? Is that what you really, I mean, how do we stop those people? Do we use red lights? Do we use cameras? Do we use, remember when they used to say planes are patrolling this to see who the speeders are? How about drones now? Okay, now I need to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I need you. 1-800-348-2551. There's one free phone left. Let's go to Adrian in New Paltz. Adrian, thank you so much for checking in early. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Alan. It's Matt, man. I send you emails at the restaurant.
You do. I know you do.
Yeah. Listen, I'm only 3 years here in the Hudson Valley, but here are three words to describe the driving around here.
Wait. Make sure that none of them are what will get us kicked off the radio, okay?
Oh, no. They're okay. All very appropriate.
Okay.
Unskilled, impatient, discourteous.
Right. All true.
The only other comment is that the biggest thing that I find, and I was a professional driver for years. I worked 38 states. I have over 1 million miles under my belt. Following distance, tailgating. No one knows what following
distance. You are so right. You are so right, Adrian. You are so right. You are right on the money, Matt Man. No question about it. That is truly the biggest problem. And when I'm riding with somebody who works here at WAMC, or who I might happen to be married to, or any of those people, and they're going too close to the guy in front of them, I just freak out. It should be for every 10 miles a space. That's what we learned in driver's education, right? One car length.
Listen, I heard that little one part of it one time, and you should watch what you say about that one person you happen to be married to. I would love to know what the New York State law is. If there even is a law, how would you enforce it? And really, it all goes back to, you know, you and I had the driver's ed course. We had the 10-mile-an-hour of a car length for every 10 mile an
hour.
That's
right, right, right.
People, they don't even know what that stuff is. You say following distance to most people, they don't know what that is.
And the worst place I've ever seen it, by the way, the worst place I've ever seen it is on the Mass Pike going to Boston. They are behind each other. You know, they're like 25 cars with a nose between them. And you say to yourself, this is crazy. One stops, it's mass pileup, and you read about it all the time.
You read about it when the weather's bad, you know, the fog or something, and there's 28 cars pile up. Well, how could that happen? Well, easily. All right, well, I'll let you go. It's a great show. I enjoy hearing about the less-than-skilled drivers here in the Hudson Valley.
Matt Man, thank you. Okay, that leaves two free phones, one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. I got to check something here. No, you see, there's no number on the top of this, so how do I know? Nothing's working around here. Okay, we have a crack engineering staff. Okay, this, I don't know about this. Yeah, that's better. Okay, so let's go to Bill in Troy. Okay, Bill in Troy, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to talk a little bit about DWI. I think that the state legislature and in fact the media can do a little bit better in terms of clamping down on DWI. I think it's arguably what the legislature has done in the last 10 years is clamp down on DWI drivers when the consequences of their driving while impaired or drunk, when the consequences are drastic, where people are hurt or people lose their lives. I think that it would make a lot of sense if, as a culture, we want to make a statement about DWI, that we clamp down at the other end of the offense, namely if you are caught driving while drunk or driving while impaired, that the consequences are much greater than they are now, and that those consequences are handled uniformly from county to county.
Yeah. So in case, like if you're a state legislator and you're caught coming back from a booze fest, you should be as held as accountable as, you know, me, for example, if I were. Is that what you mean?
Well, I think that you ought to be accountable, and I think that the sanctions ought to be much more severe than they are now.
Sure.
Very rarely, if somebody is driving while drunk or impaired, do they actually end up spending any time in jail? Alan, let me finish. The reality is that the transgression is that you're driving drunk or impaired. The fact that something bad happens is really thrown to chance.
By the way, Bill,
you believe.
No, I'm letting you finish. So before I press the dump button, I am letting you finish. But this is the third time you've said it. And the rule here is the third time, it's over. So go ahead, finish up.
So what I'm saying is that unless you believe in the good drunk driver, it seems to me that the sanction ought to be based on the transgression, not on the consequences
of the
transgression.
Okay, that's the fourth time. Now you said it. It's beautiful. You're right. Okay? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Dennis in Kerhonkson. Dennis in Kerhonkson, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
So, you know, we hear a lot about violence in our society, and I think a lot of what you're talking about here really kind of stems from that. There's a lot of angry people in the world.
I agree. You're right.
You know, Sandy Hook is not driving. The four unfortunate situation out in California recently, that very disturbed young man, and that. My concern is not people driving under the influence of illicit drugs, but the behavior that people engage in when they're driving under the influence of legal drugs.
Like what? Give us an example of legal drugs.
Like Prozac and like the other drugs that are taken for pain medication and things like that, which are all legal and which it's legal to drive when you're under doctor's orders. But that stuff results in some very erratic behavior.
Yeah, when I got out from my back operation, Dennis, there was a thing saying you couldn't drive when you were taking the pain medication for 24 hours. I know that.
The pain medication is one thing, but the psychotropics are another.
Yeah.
They induce violent behavior. And when you're driving, that's a bad combination.
Well, of course, they don't always induce violent behavior, do they?
No, that's true. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I didn't say they always induce violent behavior. I just think we need more information about that and needs to be looked at a lot more.
Well, that makes great sense. More study is good, but on the other hand, you don't want to punish anybody who is taking a psychotropic drug, right?
I'm not talking about punishing people who are taking psychotropic drugs.
Well,
looking at what the systemic influence is of a society that is being mass medicated by these types of drugs. That's what I'm talking about, the proliferation of these drugs. You know, all these
violent incidents
that we have in the news, very, very little, if any, attention is given to what kind of drugs these people are on.
No.
And all you have to do is look at the incidents of all the children who are on Ritalin and all of this anti...
Hey, Dennis,
you know,
Dennis, that's not the... Hey, Dennis, I'm
going
to hang up on you. You don't want that, do you?
And I think that's a major issue.
Dennis,
if you're talking about people
driving
erratically and road rage, I think that's a major issue with road rage, is the proliferation of these types of dogs.
Okay, you made your point. Thank you. Okay, let's go to our... let's take a break, and we'll be right back. I promise you, right back.
Support for WAMC goes to Laurie Stilwell CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StilwellCPA.com. The 1850 House Inn & Tavern, Rosendale, New York, historic boutique hotel offering romantic Hudson Valley getaways, 11 guest rooms, modern amenities, expanded outdoor deck overlooking the Roundout River, the1850house.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art, Facebook or visionexceleyecare.com. And Healthy Living Market and Cafe, working to support local agriculture with organic products, community outreach, and jobs. Open 7 days a week at the Wilton Mall, healthylivingmarket.com.
You got one free phone number 3. We just got an email from our friend Tony, who's just a very bright person. 33,000 roughly killed each year. That's 90 per day, 4 deaths an hour approximately. That's the real reason for red light cameras. We should have such cameras to raise zero revenue. That means they are best if they prevent all red light running and there would be no fines collected. And that's from our friend Tony. But Tony, the best thing about Tony's note is 33,000 roughly killed each year. That's 90 per day, 4 deaths an hour approximately. And you don't see that on the front page of the Daily News or the New York Post every day. Let's go to Ardine in Mariahville. Okay. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I messed up. I ended up getting Judy of Troy. We'll go to Ardine next. Judy, go ahead.
Hi. One problem that I think needs to be addressed and can be addressed politically is that state agencies run programs for which they make claims. For example, the Department of Motor Vehicles runs what they call safety programs. I used to work for Motor Vehicles, and while I worked there, which admittedly has not been in the past 10 years, there was no really solid evidence that these programs prevented even one single
accident. Judy, give us an example of such a program.
The point insurance reduction program, the drinking driver program, the pre-licensing course program, those are the three.
But don't you often, Judy, just to help us out here, don't you often take those courses after you get into trouble?
Well, I don't take
them. No, I don't.
I don't mean you, Judy.
Obviously,
some people do.
The reason that people often take those insurance programs and things is that they got themselves into trouble, and now the court says take the thing, and or the insurance company says if you take the thing, we'll lower your rates or whatever else happens, right? So you're saying you doubt the validity of the program.
I do not doubt. I say there is no solid evidence.
Okay.
That these programs have prevented one single accident, while the vendors of these programs are making money on them.
Could be. Judy, great call and good points.
I'm not done.
Well, get done. Go ahead.
I think that you're associating certain dangerous driving behaviors with mental illness is erroneous, and I would like to be convinced otherwise.
Well, wait.
Have you any evidence?
Yes. I had a friend named Steve. He's gone now. But nobody would ride in a car with him. And it turned out later on he was in real trouble.
So on the basis of that one friend?
Well, you said you have any...
You make such general statements?
Yeah, I do. And you say, do I have any evidence? So I give you a piece of evidence. You say the evidence is no good. But that doesn't matter. The point really is when somebody with no space, and we've all been on the road, goes in and out of traffic, right? Cuts it right in front of you, then cuts in front of you. You cover your eyes. It's so bad. And you fear for your life. Don't tell me that person isn't suffering from some kind of a strange problem.
Of a what problem?
Strange. In other words,
strange.
Who
yeah, but that's not necessarily mental illness. And
you mean
I think
to,
that
you
you're
mean to,
maligning?
Whoa! You mean
you're
to,
maligning people
okay, Judy,
with
thank
mental
you.
Illness
no, thank
is
you.
Not acceptable.
Thank you, Judy. And I think what you're saying is not acceptable. And I'll tell you why. Because if somebody behaves that way on a public road and puts everybody in danger, I consider that to be mentally ill.
I consider that to be dangerous.
Okay, thank you, Judy. Appreciate your call. Okay, let's go to Ardeen in Mariahville. Go ahead. Ardeen, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Ardeen.
This might be perfect after what your last person was talking about.
Right.
Here is my problem. I live in Mariahville.
Yeah.
I have to travel 15 miles on a windy road.
Yep.
I get behind a person who does 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
The minute you try to pass them, they speed up. So you can't pass them.
Right.
After 15 miles, you're ready to kill somebody.
Yeah. So what do you make of their behavior?
I think they're control freaks. That's my only observation. It is so obvious. You know, it is so obvious. They keep slowing down. The closer you get to their bumper, it's 30 miles an hour, then 20 miles an hour, then speed up to 55, 60 when you get ready to pass them. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, but it's also, I mean, I don't want to get into trouble with the last caller, but it's also a little screwed up.
You bet.
Don't you?
You cannot imagine how often this happens.
The same person every day?
No, I do not do it every day, and it's always different car. You know, it's always a different time of the day. There's a lot of
Are you sure that this
there,
is now? Now, Ardeen, you're not going to like this, but because of my last diagnostic question, I'm going to ask anyway. Since
okay.
You keep meeting people like that, who speed up, who slow down, the rest of it, do you think there may be anything in terms of your perception of what's going on in front of you? In other words, that they're never going to be... No. No.
Nope.
Okay.
No. Nope.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask. You know what I mean?
You know, I've been driving for 50 years.
Whoa. It's a lot.
I'm a good driver.
Yep.
And I know a nut when I see one.
But you keep seeing them. That's the point. Ardeen, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And by the way, it is maddening. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
It is, truly. Thanks, Alan.
Okay, bye. 1-800-348-2551. Two free phones. Get one of them. Anne from West Stockbridge. Anne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Alan?
I'm good. Is the same Anne from the West Stockbridge store? From the public market?
Oh, no, Annie, no.
Not Annie. Oh, this is
nope.
Ann. Okay, go ahead, Ann.
There's two things. One, and it's just one word, which is cell phones.
Yeah.
You can tell a cell phone driver a million miles away. They slow down, speed up. They're on the left passing lane when they're going slower than everybody else. And I had one the other day, and I went on the pike, and I went by him on the right-hand side, and I just motioned to him, put down the phone. He was texting.
Oh, boy.
And
now, the texting thing is a real bad problem.
Right. And then he proceeded to try to run me off the road.
No!
So I stopped at the next toll booth and I was hoping for a state trooper, but nobody was there. And yeah. I just told the guy at the booth, and he said we both sort of ranted for a while.
And now, how did he do it, Ann?
I was going to pass him on the right-hand side.
Right.
Because he was going really slow, and I just motioned him to put down the phone first. And then as I tried to go in front of him, he pulled up to the car. He just kept not letting me go. So he gave me the finger, of course, but he didn't actually try to run me off the road, but he certainly did his best to not let me move or to annoy me even further.
Now, the thing here says, I hate to provoke you, but it says here, Anne from West Stockbridge, cell phones, comma, summer people. What's that?
Yeah, well, okay, well, then there's a whole, you know, what the last two ladies were talking about. In the summer, and my dad drove right up until he was way too old. He drove 2 miles an hour.
How old is way too old?
Well, 85.
All right, that's old.
You know, I mean,
as I get closer to it, it doesn't seem that old, but go ahead.
Well, except that at a certain point, it's, you know, he was on bit of medication.
Okay, so 2 miles, two miles an hour. Go ahead.
And when you're driving and you have, you know, it's Route 7 from Stockbridge down to Great Barrington is the worst place. You've got an appointment, say, doctor's appointment, and you plan it should take 20 minutes from Lee to Great Barrington.
But now you got a 2 mile an hour in front of you, and it takes an hour.
All the time. Yeah. And so you do get annoyed, and then I had a time where I was going to pass in the passing zone. And I don't pass. If they're going speed limit, I don't pass. That's my rule to myself.
That's right.
But when they're going 20 miles below, which is often the case there, I wait till the passing time, and then I'm going to pass.
But why summer? Why summer people?
Well, there's a lot of elderly, and I'm talking very old. Some of them are on cell phones. Some of them don't know where they're going, or they're sightseeing. But, you know, I've got an appointment. So I've always allowed myself extra time. But still, you know, you can't, I think what my point is that I think there should be some laws against people who drive a certain amount under the speed limit.
Well, it's in some places, you know, you see those signs that they say minimum speed limit. You know, in other words, maximum minimum.
Well, so there's that. Plus, I think doctors have to start taking more responsibility about when they know their patients are on a lot of medication. My dad was on stuff for cancer, for all sorts of different things, that they have to at some point step in and just say, you can't drive anymore, because the family, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, the family needs to do an intervention.
It's very difficult to get a family member.
And don't think it's not difficult for those doctors also, who take a Hippocratic oath and everything else.
It should be a requirement. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're the ones who are, you know, I can go to my dad's doctor and say, this, you know, he's been in this many accidents in the last week. You know,
Anne, you make great points. We got four people behind you. I appreciate it very much. Good call. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Abigail in Kingston. Abigail, you're on.
Okay, Alan, thank you for taking my call. I just, first of all, want to praise you for airing the AR Alternative Radio Naomi Prince program. She was absolutely marvelous.
Okay, but that's not what we're talking about today.
That's the topic. Okay. Yeah. Well, also, I want to suggest a book for everybody to read called Debt, by David Gruber, The First 5,000 Years.
Okay.
Very interesting tome concerning...
Abigail.
Today. All right, Alan, I'm coming. My father, when he taught me to drive, said to me, Abigail, drive. A car is a weapon.
That's right.
Drive defensively.
Right.
Drive offensively. This is it. So I think what we have to do...
Well, what do you mean by defensively? Tell us, because I think I know what you mean, but I want everybody to know it. In other words...
Well, defensively means paying attention to what's ahead of you and what's behind you and what's coming up on the side of you.
Well, I treat every guy who's coming the other way as a potential killer, so that's pretty defensive. Number one.
Yes.
Number two, you look in your rearview mirror and there's some idiot.
There's a blind spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one really has to pay attention. And there's something about getting older, which I am, but I still have all my capacities. You know, when your license, when one's license shouldn't exist anymore. I had that with my father, who happened to be a hack driver, no less, a taxi cab driver in New York. And he got sick and old. And I had to say, no more, Dad, I'm sorry. And it was the most painful thing.
And what did he say?
He said, yes, he surrendered. Because he didn't want to kill anyone.
Okay.
He knew that he was not that capable anymore of driving.
Okay, Abigail, because there's so many people, I'm going to take your defensive driving thing as one of the best things you could have said all day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, let's go to Ronnie in Scotia. Ronnie in Scotia, you're on.
Hi. Funny enough, I decided to make this call, and I had somebody right at my tail, which kind of helped me want to make the call. So I pulled over, and of course, had to floor it to get by me as he was talking on his cell phone. So I thought that was kind of humorous. But I'm calling mostly about the little issue that was brought up about the mentally ill and driving and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I worked in that field for a lot of years, and I have to say, I don't want them driving. And I know that sounds terrible. And, of course, you're also talking about what kind of mental illness
sure.
and all that.
Sure.
But the ones I worked with, well-medicated, wonderful people, but sometimes the medication fails. Sometimes they don't take it right. They have reasons they're taking it, and, you know, I realize it sounds terrible to say it, but I just really don't want them driving a car that could kill me.
But how do you distinguish between the ones who, you know, who really have serious impairments and those who don't? I mean, we discriminate against the mentally ill in many ways already.
We do.
And isn't this the potential for making it even worse?
I mean, the way the system is supposed to work is the psychiatrist that does the med reviews is supposed to know these patients well enough. So I would think that the doctor has to be the first line.
Yeah, right.
I really do. I think that they should know them well enough to say yes or no. But then also there are people in their lives. Like when I worked with them, I could say, you should never be behind the wheel.
And they would say?
I don't care what they would say. If I had that power and I feel like I could be saving somebody's life,
I would
use the power. And the other thing, now I'm no longer in that field. I'm working with teenagers who are just getting their licenses.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have teenagers who are getting them with anger disorders.
Oh, boy.
And here we are now giving them a driver's license and putting them behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I can make them angry by saying, go sit down, imagine if they had to wait long enough behind a slow driver.
Well, what would you do, Ronnie, to such a person, a young person who's getting their license, who may be 16, 17 years old, whatever it is now, and has an anger disorder? How would you curtail them?
Again, these are things that are diagnosed. It's in their file. The doctors know it.
Oh,
they
I see.
Can't
so
possibly know it.
I see.
I just think that these things, I think the doctor has to be the first line of defense, and they have to say, you know, first do no harm. Are we not doing harm by giving them a very lethal weapon? I agree with the lady who said it's a weapon.
Oh, it's a weapon, all right.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm scared for my daughters who are getting their licenses, and
sure.
I think, oh, my God. They're out there with these people.
Sure, we've seen enough people. We live in Great Barrington. We've seen enough people whose kids have been wiped out. It's just awful. It's awful.
It breaks your heart.
It just does.
Breaks your heart.
More
and
than
we
that.
Just need a better system to keep those who shouldn't drive off the road.
Okay, so you put more on the doctor, the psychiatrist, for.
I think everybody's got to join together. I think the doctor's issuing the medications, and I also think once they've been pulled over by the police, I think it needs to be looked at a little bit more than, you know, a traffic ticket gets reduced to,
parking on the side of the road. Yeah. Hey,
right.
Ronnie, gotta let you go. Thank you very much.
That's fine. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a very, very short break, 7 seconds or so, and we'll be back with Terry and Craig and Bill and Rick. Just hang right in there.
Hey. Support for WAMC comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. Current Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York, hosting a national symposium on life insurance compliance November 12th through the 14th at the Gideon Putnam Resort in Saratoga Springs, with registration opening in June, currentcompliance.com. Ashokan Center, Olive Ridge, New York, presenting Swing Dancing with the Lindy Hop Heaven and an outdoor barbecue dinner Saturday, June 28th, ashokancenter.org. And Taft Farms, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, growers of heirloom vegetables for the home garden, and featuring an asparagus festival May 31st, vendor tastings, children's activities, and more, taftfarms.org.
All right, here we are. Val writes, I don't know how Alan has the patience to listen to callers who cannot get to the point. Thank you. Okay, I have great patience, and I love everybody who's calling, and, you know, everybody doesn't have the same methodology for doing things. Let's go to Terry in Catskill. Terry in Catskill, you're there. Terry! Oh, I guess I messed up. Who's there? Anybody? All right, let's try Terry again. Terry,
can you hear me?
Terry, yeah, okay, now I can hear you.
Okay. Hi, yeah, just a couple comments. I don't know if it's so much an issue of mental illness as it is an incredible sense of entitlement on the part of some of these people. There seems to be a general me-first attitude on the road wherever you go these days, or whether it's, you know, speeding up as you try to pass somebody, or somebody just basically pulling their car out in front of you into, when you're doing 60 miles an hour, knowing full well what they're doing.
No, you know, man, Terry, that is such an interesting point. As far as my gripes go, there's nothing worse than at 3:30 in the morning when I leave for work and you're coming down Route 41 and somebody pulls out in front of you, right? Pulls right out in front of you. And then you're going 40, slows down to 25 and makes you drive all the way to West Stockbridge at 25 miles an hour. Why didn't they wait for one more second?
I genuinely believe that some of these people feel like that they are just entitled to their behavior, and they come first, and that's that.
Yeah, and but don't you think that the driving is often a manifestation or a way of showing what your mental capacity is? I mean, where your head is.
Sure. Yeah. I do agree with some aspects of that. Absolutely.
Okay. Finish up. Go ahead, Terry.
But another point I want to make is there are just too many cars on the road. Period. These days, 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, you would see one family sharing one car. These days, everybody in the family.
Okay, how do you stop that?
There's no way to stop it, but it just seems there's no turning back from this.
So it's an observation. So you're making an observation. Yeah, it's a good observation. But of course, you know, the car family in which one goes to college, one goes to work, two people go to different workplaces. How are you going to stop that? You're not going to.
Oh, no. I understand, but it's just an observation.
Okay, well, it's a good observation. It's a good observation. Hey, Terry, thanks for the great call.
Appreciate it.
Yep. All right, let's go to Craig in Albany. Craig, you're on.
Hello. I have 2 points to make about the conversation that I heard. I haven't heard the whole thing, but you said something about dangerous drivers, people weaving in and out, and crazy, mentally ill, and so on. And I think there are a couple of points here. One of them is that there are cultural differences in the way people drive. If you go to Boston, people drive and are expected to drive a certain way. I've driven there. Go to the Midwest, where there's lots of visibility.
Space,
you know, people behave differently in different areas.
So what's your point?
People who drive in a way that you think is dangerous, those people may be driving in a way
that is Now, Craig, let me take you on this. You mean to say that you're telling me you're driving, there are two spaces between or three spaces between you and the other guy. We've all seen it happen. Some madman pulls in front of you, endangering everybody, almost putting his bumper in front of you. You're telling me that's a cultural difference?
It depends where you are, Alan.
I'm talking about the New York State. How about the New York State Thruway? How about Route 22?
Well, around here, that would be considered crazy.
Okay.
But not everywhere. So before you make a generalization about how everybody is mentally ill, you know.
Wait a second. Don't put words in my mouth.
There are cultural differences.
Don't ever put words in my mouth.
The other point is.
I can hang up, you know. So I have that ability.
Well, do you want me to finish or not?
No, I want to finish. I want to tell you that you said everybody's mentally ill. I did not. So go ahead.
I thought you said that people who drive a certain way are mentally ill.
I said I think that that's true. I mean, anybody pulls in front of me and endangers my life and the life of my children or the life of the people in front of me or around them has got to, by definition, be mentally ill. Yes, I believe that.
Then you've got a culturally limited definition of mentally ill.
I see.
Because there are people who drive like that, and it's normal where they drive. That's one point.
On the New York State
Thruway. The other point is,
that's normal?
I already answered that question. I'm saying you're generalizing way, way beyond.
Okay, you said that already. Go ahead, Craig. Finish up.
The other point is that you're medicalizing a behavior. You don't need to make it a diagnosis.
I see. Okay.
Okay? Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Bill in Washington, Mass. Go, Bill.
Hey, I'd like to bring up people on the turnpike where we have six lanes, three lanes going in each direction.
Yep.
They plant themselves in that middle lane going, you know, the legal speed limit or a little bit below it. And it's the traffic winds up like a river going around a rock in the stream bed. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that. Is that center lane for that, or is the center lane a greater speed than the inside lane and the outside lane, a greater speed than the middle lane?
Well, it's been my impression. Tell me if I'm wrong here, Bill, but it's always been the case that the outside lane is for the faster traffic.
Yes, but what about the middle lane?
I think the middle lane is for the next traffic.
Yeah, I agree.
And the slowest
and
is the
out
right.
There in Vermont, they even have they even have signs reminding people if you're slower traffic, keep to the right.
That's what I've always thought. Hey, Bill, good point, because the people who are in the middle and going very slow are in the potential for causing a certain amount of ire on those behind them and slowing down traffic and creating a hazard, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and passing on the inside just seems so dangerous.
No, it's dangerous because of that blind spot.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Hey, Bill, thanks for a great call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Leah in Albany. Leah, go.
Oh, hi. This is Leah. How are you?
Hi. Are you the same Leah who's the councilwoman in Albany?
Yes, this is Councilwoman Goldie.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, so I was calling because I noticed that your topic was supposed to be on automated automated traffic something.
Well,
right?
let's put it
automated traffic control devices.
Yeah.
And an automatic traffic control device, the way I look at it, is just a red light. But an automatic enforcement device would be something like a red light camera. So I think you were trying to go towards red light cameras from what I read. And I just want to say that I support the use of red light cameras. I support the city of Albany at least investigating whether red light cameras are right for us. And, you know, your question on your website was, do I think it's a money grab? It's not a money grab. It's about public safety. I was just looking up the New York State driver's manual, because yellow lights are the issue, right? What happens here in the city of Albany is there are a lot of red light runners. You stand at a corner, your corner, right there at Central Avenue and Quail Street, and inevitably you will see multiple cars a day run a red light there. Try it. Maybe you have. So basically, what was I saying?
I don't know. You were saying you're for red light detectors. I am too. You said people shouldn't go through yellow lights. I agree with that, and many people do.
Well, they speed. That's what I was saying. They speed up. You know, the whole thing is
if there are
red light cameras, maybe they'll start to slow down because that's what the law says to do.
Councilwoman, you're exactly right. I want to appreciate what you're saying. Thanks again. Bye.
All right. Take it.
Okay, let's go to Rick in Albany. Rick in Albany, you're on.
How are you, Alan? I want to get straight to the point because I know you want people to get to the point. I have three words: courtesy, empathy, and patience. So when you talk about, Andy, you're banding about the word mentally ill a lot, but I'd like to kind of switch that to culturally ill. I think our culture is a little ill because over the last 25 or 30 years, we've become less courteous, less patient, and have less empathy.
I agree.
And our cars have changed. I don't know if you noticed on a hot day like today, 99% of the cars have the windows up. They're computerized. They have MP3s and videos and all kinds of things. So cars are much more of a sanctuary. So like everything else in our culture, people are more isolated and less likely to be courteous when there's no, you don't meet someone's eyes.
No, I agree with that. When I just yesterday or just on Thursday last week, I was coming down Central Avenue and some guy, you know, they call it Central Avenue now in Albany, the Avenue of Death, because, you know, a lot of people get killed there. And I see a guy coming out in the middle of the block from between cars. Now, there are some people, as you say, who aren't courteous, who would say, I have the right of way, I'm going ahead. Guess what I did? Stop. Because who wants to kill somebody? Doesn't make any sense.
It happens all the time. I was backing out of a space the other day, and a car, instead of pausing, and it wasn't even on a busy street, it was in downtown Woodstock, instead of pausing 10 seconds, swerved around me and went into the other lane.
Exactly.
And almost hit a car.
Exactly.
Because they're not courteous, they're not patient. And a lot of it, I think, is because of our cultural isolation.
And because
we
maybe
don't
our parents
have any retribution.
Yeah, maybe our parents didn't teach us courtesy. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Let's go to Peter in Northampton. Peter.
Hi, Alan. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay.
My point is, I drive a lot in Europe and in Western Europe, and every country has a different rules.
Yep.
Most of all, I drive in Germany, and the reason why on Autobahn you can drive so fast, it's because everyone pretty much stays in the right lane, and left lane is for passing. I don't know why it's not imposed here. In Massachusetts, we have a fine, $100 for continuously driving in the right lane. People still do it.
What do you mean for continuously driving in the right lane? You mean on the right?
Sorry, in the left lane.
Left lane.
Police almost never enforce it.
Yeah, right.
First of all, money-wise, it would be a golden opportunity. And second, I remember the only one ticket I got in Germany, because out of boredom, it was long ago, I didn't know, I passed a car on the right side. And they told me that I was crazy and I was not supposed to do it. It make it dangerous. It make it unpredictable. And I almost never see anything like this there. So everyone goes the same way. All trucks, they never drive even, they drive only in the right lane.
Mm-hmm.
Only when they pass. That allows to drive, I've driven there 120, 130 miles per hour when it's allowed. There is an idea that you can do whatever you want there, which is not true because you can lose your license as quickly as here, or maybe even quicker, because they have plenty of cameras.
You're for cameras, Peter?
Pardon?
You are for the idea of cameras, traffic cameras.
Yes and no. I think rather than keep our police force hiding
in
the bush, I would rather have cameras.
How about both?
And put them into just fighting crime and just looking, checking stuff.
Peter, we're running out of time. I thank you for your call. Very interesting.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Let's go to Christina in Albany. Christina, go. Christina.
Hello?
Hello, Christina. Your turn. Go ahead. Hurry up.
Oh, hi. I wanted to agree with Rick in Albany that I think one of the reasons people drive like lunatics is because we don't have that personal connection anymore because of our technological influences. You know, we communicate with each other online and we don't see each other's faces, and I think that extends to our driving, and we're behind these windshields in these gigantic vehicles, and we just don't have the courtesy anymore to have empathy for our fellow drivers on the road.
Now, who taught you how to do it? Who taught you how to be a caring, concerned, connected person?
My mother and my grandmother.
Exactly.
You know, and it's something that's passed down from generations, but people have to care about each other to, you know, teach that to their children.
Well, thank you, Christina. I'm trying to get to everybody. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Tom in Catskill. Tom, you're on.
Yeah, I want drones everywhere. I want drones in the sky watching stuff. I want cameras everywhere. We're too free. We need to have Big Brother looking at us all the time.
So your tongue is in your cheek, right?
No, my tongue isn't in my cheek, Alan, and I just wanted to tell you, you have been so polite and courteous to all your callers today. You are first class.
Thank you, Tom. All right, let's go to Glenn in Albany. Glenn in Albany, go ahead.
Hey, Alan, what's going on? Love the show.
Go ahead. Your turn.
Hey, well, listen, I grew up in Long Island. I moved up to Albany almost 10 years ago.
What town did you grow up in?
Oyster Bay.
Oyster Bay. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the things down in Long Island, I mean, the difference is, like the one guy said, the cultural differences in driving. Like,
do you think there's a cultural difference? Do you think there's a cultural difference, Glenn, between...
No, I'm just saying the cultural difference.
I'm asking a question. Yeah. Do you think there's a cultural difference as narrow as South Shore and North Shore?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Me too. Which are Craig? Which are nuttier?
What's that?
Which of the two are nuttier?
Oof. I don't know. Between the North and the South, I guess they all have their nuttiness.
And that's the South. Go ahead, Glenn.
So, like, to give you an example, like, you drive on the Long Island Expressway, yep, and there's traffic, you cannot put your blinker on. I learned if you put your blinker on, you're never getting into the next lane. You know what I mean?
I mean, people are just bearish. They're terrible in terms of letting you in.
That's just the way it was. I mean, if you're on the Long Island Expressway, the Northern Parkway, you're not doing the speed limit. You're not doing 55. Yeah. You have to do at least 75 or 80 miles an hour.
Yeah,
and
how
still,
about
you
that?
Have people passing you.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, of course, if Roselle is next to you, the testosterone level goes down if the lady in the car puts her hand out and sort of begs to come into the lane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, it gets ugly down there. I mean, I moved up here, and I mean, I moved up 10 years ago, and I lived in Clifton Park.
And you thought you were in Nirvana.
There was no traffic back then.
Yeah.
And now, trying to go rush hour up north, it's almost impossible. And like the worst thing is, over by Route 7 where people merge onto 87, people don't know how to merge.
There are those people who think that the Long Island Expressway is the world's greatest parking lot, and there are people who think that in number two is now coming to be 87. Hey, Glenn, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tom in Amherst. Tom, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan. Someone called in earlier about
lanes.
About a highway with three lanes going in each direction. And they were wondering how those lanes should be used. It's my understanding that the left lane is the passing lane.
Right.
The middle lane is the travel lane, and the right lane is the access lane for getting on and off.
I was thinking about that. I think there's something to that. But, of course, what happens when there are only two lanes?
Well, with two lanes, the left lane is still the passing lane, and the right lane is both travel and access.
Yeah, I try to stay out of that right lane because of that. It's true. And if you take the Hutch down to New York City, you have a choice. You can be on the next to the barrier of death on the left-hand side, or you can be on the right-hand side and watch as the Neuchâtel, Mount Vernon, and everything else traffic comes in and joins the flow.
And a lot of times you have to pull left anyway
in
order to accommodate that flow.
Sure, you do. Hey, Tom, I'm trying to get everybody in. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Let's go to Lisa in Albany. Lisa, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to make a quick comment. You know, we still operate with this primal brain that we have, which helps with the situations of fight or flight. And and it's unfortunate, you know, that some of us have this area of the brain not as developed as other people. But
cavemen. The cavemen had it, and we have it.
Some of the people that you reference as having mental problems rely on this brain more than, you know, your more intellectual driver. But wild animals, we're unpredictable. You know, even
I'm going to take your comment, and I'm going to appreciate it very much, but I'm done. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, Matt McCormick and Traffic and Louie and Jack, we left you all on. I'm so sorry, but we are out of time. We're just about out of time. Thank you, everybody. Sorry for those people who didn't get in. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Bistro 63 at the Monkey Bar, downtown Amherst, offering casual lunches and dinners featuring steak, seafood, cocktails, and wines using local organic products, banquet facilities, and patio dining, bistro63.com. And Foresight Land Services, for over 45 years, offering civil engineering, land surveying, planning, and environmental permitting to private and municipal clients in the Berkshires and Eastern New York, foresightland.com. And to Proctor's, presenting the 2014-15 Key Private Bank Broadway series featuring Newsies, Jersey Boys, and The Illusionist, Witness the Impossible, Annie, Pippin, and Kinky Boots, Proctors.org, Eagle Hill School, Hardwick, Massachusetts, a college prep boarding and day school for students with learning disabilities and ADD, featuring a five-week summer session, EHS1.org for info. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by the equally incomparable Bruce Herbach. Our producers, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now, everybody, wherever you are, for a news update.